Let's talk business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's talk business, brought to you by the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, brought to you in association with the BCCI. My name is Michelle Spencer, and today I have Attorney Mark Hope of Mark Hope Law and Lalu Vaswani, Managing Director of Satya Enterprises, which is a family-owned business in the retail and commercial sector. We'll be examining business continuity and succession planning. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Dr. Henderson Carter, a senior lecturer at the University of the West Indies, stated in 2023 that many businesses in Barbados fail because of a lack of succession planning. Every entrepreneur at the midway point of his business must think of continuity. He has to think about what happens to his business after he retires or passes on. Many entrepreneurs do not plan for business future beyond them, however, and Barbadians have been urged in recent years to become entrepreneurs, with many of these ventures becoming successful businesses. Business continuity, therefore, but specifically succession planning, should be at the forefront of all newly successful and aging business owners' minds. So first of all, let's see if we can define these terms of business continuity and succession planning. Mark, can you define them for us?
Sure. Well, there are two aspects to business continuity. The more popular aspect is preparing the business to function in case of emergency, hurricane, disaster, that sort of thing, so that if your physical plant is impacted, if your systems are impacted, the business can resume quickly or as quickly as is reasonably practical in circumstances and move forward. I think in this context, the other element is what we're going to be focusing on, which is the longevity and the lifespan of the business. How does the business continue into the future? And as far as you are able to, or one is able to define the future, how long is that to be? And whether it will continue in its current form or whether how it will evolve and who will be its principals, whether the current owners and his or her descendants, or whether the business will be sold off to an external parties who will carry it on. So I think that's the broad context of business continuity.
So what are some of the key elements that a multi-generational business should focus on when looking to create a succession plan?
I'd say you have to understand and be very clear as to what your business drivers are. Is it relationship management? Is it supplier, product development, customer service? Is it the geographic dispersion of the business? You have to have a clear understanding of what does it take for your business to succeed. And this is important because it will help you identify the characteristics of the potential or the proposed leaders of the business. So if it's an entrepreneurial venture that's growing, the entrepreneur needs to figure out what are the skills and the assets that he himself or she has brought to this business, which has taken it to that place, and what is needed to continue. And when you then identify the potential leaders, preferably those who are already in the business, and if they're not already working in the business along with the owner or the directors, then you need to look at sourcing and identifying those persons and bringing them into the business. The assessment of those leaders, we will have to take into consideration things like their knowledge base, their experience, either in the exact industry or similar or complementary industries within which the business operates. What is their skill set? Once you've established that base, then you need to move to the next step where you're identifying or determining what sort of gaps may exist. Is it gaps in their experience, gaps in their skill set, the knowledge base? And how do you fill those gaps? There's a popular SWOT analysis. So you're almost doing something like an individual SWOT analysis, if you will. What are the person's strengths? What are their weaknesses? What are the opportunities that you will see for that person's growth and development into the leader that will carry the business forward? And the final step then is the devising of the growth and development plan for that individual or those individuals, because the size of the business may determine that you need more than one person to emerge as the leader of the business, right? And then the growth and development plan, and there are obviously elements that will go into the growth and development plan, which will be tailored to suit the person or persons that you have identified.
Now, Lalu, as someone who's been involved in a family-owned business for many years, what would you say should be the framework for succession planning in any business?
The framework for succession planning always begins with the seed, and the seed is usually subterranean. The seed is the vision of the founder and what he's trying to achieve in his family. It usually starts with a family business that way. And when the seed is sown, the person usually starts with limited capital, finds a way through his determination and grace of God to build his capital, build it up. And as the family members come to a certain stage, even from the stage of childhood, small seeds are sown, no different to how a mother introduces vegetables in the life of a child, even though he may not like it in the beginning, but it becomes part of him going forward. And that is important because in that seed, it takes a very long time to germinate. And there are other values that can be incorporated. And secondly, that as the individuals, the youngsters, the children start to grow, you start to identify what are their passion areas. Is it marketing? Is it creativity? Is it administration? And you direct them to their passion, which makes it easier for them to take on any load. If you're doing what you don't like, you understand that you won't put your full effort into it. And thirdly, to also recognize what are the skill sets that we are missing, because knowledge is of two types. Either you have it or you know where to get it. And so in building a business, which is no different to building a structure that is sustainable, that you need to have it. How many floors you want to go determines on what foundation you lay. And so you want to make sure all the pillars are there to sustain it. As Mark said, sometimes you have adverse weather conditions that can destroy or damage significantly a business. How do you withstand that? So these are some of the elements. As we go on, I'll explain to you some actual life examples which were incorporated in my life, which may shed some more light. But that is where I'll say at this point.
Well, in terms of shedding some more light, it seems as if you're saying that you should start as early as possible. But in a real sense, what really determines when this planning gets going? Is it the size of the business, the length of time it's been in existence? How should a business person now start to plan?
Well, the point is this, that it's about scalability. But you cannot scale something if it doesn't have the foundation to stand on, number one. Number two, you also live in a dynamic marketplace. So if you are learning how to make fax machines or even a simple thing as a camera, you have to learn to adapt to the changing dynamics of the marketplace. So this is where wisdom blossoms over time, that helps you with your knowledge base to know how to apply. And so the important thing is to always be sustainable, always the integrity of your structure, and the investment in your people. In this case, if it is your family members, each may go and do a different discipline. One may go to do law, one may do accounting, one may want to do designing. But the point is, you give them time to build their skill sets to a professional level, and then they can be reincorporated into the business. I think this weekend, Abed's is celebrating 60th anniversary. And so it is that type of succession that comes into play. But if I may take a moment to tell you about how it started. When we were infants, what you call short pants, going to school, that age group, most people would normally go home from school. But my father had three sons. My parents had three sons. We had a manufacturing business and a wholesale business. But we were not allowed to go home. We had to come to the store. And we were given samples. He used to manufacture ladies' undergarments. We were each given samples. And we have to go all around to these businesses and sell, and we got a 5% commission every Friday. But there was a condition. You are entitled to your commission, but 50% of it has to be divided with your other two siblings. It's all three. So you were driven to earn, but you also learned the value of unity and sharing with one another. And so you do that. And most schools, or many times schools, have overseas trips in summer. We would go for that, and you would get what you call it, a stipend. Those days, like £100 was a lot of money if you're going on an overseas trip. But then when you're doing manufacturing, you often have items that are not perfect, you know, things that were what they call seconds, and they put it aside. So when that period came, he would give us a sewing operator dedicated to repairing all the seconds. And those were given to us with in the store in a separate showcase. So whatever you sell from those repaired products becomes extra bonus divided by three again. I'm just saying there are different things that are instilled into you that help to put in. And then in your own development, you come to realize where your passions are and go. And so it grows like that. And so I had a brother who liked designing. So we were in undergarments. That's quite different from outerwear. So he created a factory for him to develop his designing. And that's when they started to make uniforms and in-flight, when you display, you know, the fashion shows in flight.
Yes.
So all your creativity comes out. The other brother, he could not sit in an office if you paid him. So he made him the export manager. He traveled to Barbados, Jamaica. We were in Jamaica, by the way. Barbados, Trinidad, all over selling goods. But that is what he was good at. And I was more administrative, and I stayed close to my father and learned how to do administration. I became a chartered accountant, again, by accident. But there it is. But all these three elements, the marketing, the creativity, the administration, come to play. And then it is left to you to see where your direction is. In my case, we have a daughter who is an attorney at law, and she made her career that way. So be it. Another case, person is in business management. He did his own business. So be it. But at some point, when you come for your succession planning, the seed is already sown for them to come and assume how the continuity would happen once the foundation is laid. But it requires a lot of trust between each other. As you grow older, you have your own thinking, and you need to harmonize it and come together in unity.
So, Mark, from your perspective, how can business owners then get this sort of knowledge, or perhaps it might even be common sense, to be able to engage in this type of planning?
Right. Excuse me. Sorry. Thank you. So what I've understood from Lalu, which is consistent with what we would say, is the building of that experience and the immersion in the business opportunities, right? So it's, you're never too young to start, sorry. So you start your children as early as possible, as Lalu gave the example, which was praying, but coming home, not going home after school, but getting immersed in the business, so that the learning, although it may appear to the untrained person or to the young person as unstructured, it was very structured. It was very systematic. His dad had a plan, and dad put them through the paces well before, I'm sure, they understood what was happening to them. From a business perspective or an academic perspective, we embrace a slightly more structured approach in terms of, if you, depending on the nature and the scale of your business and where you are in the business, if it's a family business that's growing, then the immersion makes sense and it grows and the skill sets are there. And where there are multiple children, then, as Lalu gave in his example, you balance the skill sets and the children grow together and the business grows, and you may have spin-offs coming out of the primary business where you started. If the business is moving along and there were not children and there was not that immersion, or the children may have come into the business later in their life, then you need a more formal or more structured plan to put the framework in place, figure out at that stage what their skills and their passions are, until you will build on those skills and passions. And although I spoke to a structured plan, there needs to be that dynamic approach because the environment is constantly changing. The environment is constantly changing. The things that impacted a business, I dare say, 10 years ago are very different from what impacts a business today. The economic environment has changed. Globalization is upon us. So what happens next door and where the field impacts our businesses and how we structure them today. So there needs to be, I said, this more formalized structure. And you can think of it in terms of performance development plan. You do that normally for your employees. You use their passions, you use the objectives of the job, you identify goals and targets which you would want that or employee or employees or those children to aim for. Lalu had a commission-based structure that may work in certain environments. If it's not similarly in manufacturing, it'd be more of a service-oriented type of structure. So you identify the goals and the targets that the prospective leaders can be working towards. And those goals and targets have to be measurable. And you then have to provide a mechanism for feedback so that they understand where they're growing and developing. They're understanding the areas for extra effort, the areas for adapting their approaches. And quite often, the leader of the business, he or she himself develops a greater understanding of their business because you are now in a position where you're trying to teach other people and bring them to the stage that you have reached. So you have to be able to explain yourself, to be able to explain your actions. And you have to ask yourself, what have I done to get this business where it is? What then is needed for it to continue? And then try to engender that in the persons that you're grooming to take over.
What must be done legally in order for the succession plan to be known and to come about?
There are actually no legal requirements for a succession plan to be known. What happens with the success of a business is within the business and within the owner's dream and vision, as Lalu has said. What is important, though, in today's legal construct is that if you have an incorporated entity, there are going to be reporting requirements. There are going to be requirements for the corporate affairs office, filing annual returns. Depending on the nature of the operations, the details that are to be provided need to be known. So you have to understand the administrative side of the business. You will need to engage with an accountant or accountants at the appropriate time. There will be questions of taxation. There will be obligations towards your employees and their national insurance contributions and their income taxes. As the business grows, you may be moving in terms of employee benefits. So you may be engaging in pension plans, medical plans, other benefits that impact your employees. And you have to understand the implications, the cost implications and the resource implications that these will have on your business. So there isn't a legal construct that speaks to a succession plan, but the business operates within a broader legal framework. And you have to make sure, of course, that you're compliant. In modern times, depending on the nature of your business, again, you will have concerns with anti-money laundering, concerns with terrorism financing, finance of weapons. Those sorts of things may come into play. So there is a compliance element and a greater knowledge and understanding of your business environment. It's no longer just what you do in your business that you need to be concerned with. You need now data protection is upon us. So if you are engaging with suppliers and customers, you have to have information on them. You have to know who your customer is, know who your supplier is. You have to protect the information, the data that you may be storing on your customers. So there are several legal elements, but there isn't an overriding governance framework that speaks strictly to succession plan.
Okay. Well, we're talking in terms of the succession plan and its obvious benefits for the business in and of itself. But what are the benefits for sustainable economic growth in Barbados?
All right. I'd say if there's a sustainable business environment, there are successful businesses that are thriving. That will redound to the development of the country. That speaks to the GDP. It may then help to bolster the Barbados' reputation as an attractive place for investors. It creates employment. There is independence of the citizens and the employees who are earning a decent living and are able to stand on their own and are also then dependent on the state. There may be motivation then for other entrepreneurs, having seen the success of a number of Barbadian businesses, others are maybe motivated then to join. And I'm sure Lalu, from his experience, can tell us of some other benefits.
I would say the number one benefit to the country is investor confidence. Confidence is not something you can see, but it's something you feel. And when you see that there is a plethora of businesses with continuity, it shows the depth and the breadth of the businesses and the business environment. And that confidence is what it portrays to a foreign investor, where for every country, foreign direct investment is critical. And that is the significant benefit. The other thing is that the obvious ones, as he mentioned, not the, the ones that he mentioned, such as the employment impact and building community relationship, not just worrying about your own interest, which is important, but also that you are part of a community and that you also have a responsibility to uplift the community, because if the community is well, you will do well. You can never work in a vacuum.
I'm glad that you mentioned the word confidence. Let's bring it back into the business in and of itself, whereby lots of time persons might be citing nepotism. So you have family members who have gone off, done their studies and everything, and then all of a sudden, that person turns up in the business. How do you manage the relationships within your business to ensure a smooth transition for succession planning?
Well, I think that there may be different ways depending on the particular circumstances. But if you're following the model that I mentioned, where you're interjecting your attendance in the business, the point is that you have to always be fair to all concerned. There should be no dark secrets. You have your rights, but you also respect all. Because if you look at your fingers, your five, you try to hold a glass or tumbler with one finger, it can't work. But if you use all, so you can lift it together. So whatever is right for the business in an objective and professional way, that should be the overriding factor. And also, it becomes a part of the decision-making of the shareholders of the business, people who have the investment to make that decision on what they should do and who will become directors and so forth. But it doesn't mean that because you have a family business, non-family members cannot take very senior positions, whether it is managing director or other functional areas. It is what is good for the business, because in the end, it can come where the family members take a board of directors level, and they have all the professional skill sets and persons to manage their business. And they're more focused on what you call business development, growth, new markets. Because if you're in operations, you won't have enough time to develop new markets or expand your horizons. Mm-hmm. So it's about being fair, I would say, above all.
Okay.
I want to add to that too, Michelle, that there needs to be a level of communication and a level of intelligence that must inform the process. If you've gone to work in a family business, then you must appreciate when you're applying for the job where you're applying to work, and you're knowing that it's a family business. I think Lalu's comments earlier with respect to persons having strengths. So it may be that senior members of the family will have different strengths. So in that context, for example, it may be that there isn't a member of the family who's keen on marketing. So that may be one of the talents that you may need to embrace from outside. So you may want to employ or identify the employee in the business who's good with marketing. And a succession plan should not be a secret, right? So if you're identifying the key persons who you think will move the business forward, so you may identify the employee within the company who has the penchant for marketing, who has the experience, and you can, as part of your succession plan, be grooming that person who will be leading the marketing side, whereas the family members may be working on the business development side and the customer service side. So that if the succession plan is known and communicated, not necessarily to every single employee, but to the key ones who are going to be moving the organization forward, who are going to be senior, then there is that harmony and there is that congruence so that everyone is working towards the same objectives.
How do we foster an environment to provide opportunities in this sort of age, whereby you have the millennials or the younger generations? So how do we encourage them to strike out on their own entrepreneurial journeys and maybe create the next multi-generational business?
To support them, support their vision. Do not try to replicate what you did 30 or 40 years ago. Give them the opportunity to build. I give you an example. We spoke about setting up structures. I have a son who likes scalability for every business, and he has a model where he wishes to have nothing come directly to him. Anything that happens in the business goes to a particular place and a particular person responds, but he has oversight over it, including overseas suppliers, everything. And he uses his tech IT knowledge, which he created on his own. He didn't go and study IT per se, but you know, they self-teach themselves to go to the extreme where he will create a website that answers all your questions for whichever territory you're in and give you the custom prices and the landed cost in your thing. And if you place an order, it goes straight to the supplier via. But they have their own model and you need to support it. It doesn't always work, but it doesn't mean that you should be restrict the free flow of the creative energies, you know? And for example, that same business had a problem when COVID came. Bam, the whole business shut down. What do? They transferred into making alcohol sanitizers. They created a manufacturing plant just to make that, and that is what worked for 2 years. Because he was a youngster, he could not own the fact that you might have to send home staff. He couldn't own that. Mm-hmm. So for the first 2 months, it's just giving them whatever entitlements. But then he had to pivot into a new business that was in demand that allowed him to keep all his employees fully employed. Mm-hmm. So it's by giving them the opportunity, but they will scrape their knees, but they will get up and you guide them as well.
Wonderful.
Yes, I would join with Lalu, Michelle, if you will, and say you have to embrace their ideas. Right? And you assist them or you get them involved in the planning. So you don't dictate the pace. You embrace ideas, get them involved in the planning. And you help them to identify what are the key performance indicators or the measurable outcomes. And provide meaningful feedback. Not just criticism, but meaningful feedback so that they are able then to build and move on step by step.
Well, I want to thank you both. This has been Let's Talk Business, brought to you in association with the BCCI. My name is Michelle Spencer, and today we looked at business continuity and succession planning with attorney Mark Hope of Mark Hope Law and Lalu Vaswani, managing director of Satya Enterprises Limited, which is a family-owned business. Until next time, on behalf of the BCCI, have a great week.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited.